But getting to, like, let's get to the nuts and bolts of strength training. So through the years, I'm going to throw out some terms that, you know, we've used, and the audience might know some of these terms or not, but there's been the debate of, do you do lighter weights and more repetitions? Do you do heavier weights and fewer repetitions? You know, there's functional training where we're using our entire body compared to where we isolate muscle groups. There's been studies, and I know you've done you've talked about this through the years, but whether the speed of the movement is fast or super slow. I have to tell you, one year I went to one of the conventions, and it was when the super slow was very, very popular, and you had to, I can't even remember the number of seconds, but it was just as long. So it is like, it was the bicep curl, the weight's going up. And I remember, and I think it was maybe you, but it was really one of these things like, yes, science has proven that this is a very good technique and you get more, bang for your buck with it, except that people are so bored after doing it that nobody can maintain it because it's such a boring approach. But in general, we are here. We've come through all of these different concepts, and for the, not the bodybuilder, not the elite athlete, but for the average woman who is, somewhere in, getting in her 40s or 50s, what would you recommend as lightweights? Let's start with light heavy, because I have a little bit of a pet peeve here, and I want to just hear what you have to say about it.
Sure, thank you. And that was probably me with the super slow. We had 150 people in a study, and they had great results. But out of the actually two studies, there were 75 in each. Out of the two studies, only one person said, "I'll ever do it again," because they hated it. So you have to do something that people like and will continue to do. We've done a lot of studies with several thousands of people. Actually, we've published in the major medical research journals. And the first one I'm going to mention is the frequency, because it's not something that you need to do every day or should do every day or really could do every day, because muscular training does cause a little bit of micro trauma to the tissue, and it needs some time to remodel and rebuild and restructure. So in our studies, we have shown that 2 or 3 days a week, either one, produces essentially equal results in terms of rebuilding muscle with women, like you just said, middle-aged women or young women or older women. They add about 3 pounds of muscle every 3 months, or 1 pound, a little over 1 pound, about 1 1/3 pounds per month, regardless of whether they're doing 2 or 3 days a week. Now, if they do 3 days, they get better blood pressure results, they lose a little more fat, but for building muscle and bone, our studies have shown that 2 days is sufficient, and 3 would be the most you'd want to do with a day rest in between. In terms of the amount of resistance and repetitions, which of course is an inverse relationship, the heavier the weight, the fewer repetitions you can do, the lighter the weight, the more repetitions you can do. And actually, the most recent studies, the meta-analysis of these studies, shows that there's quite a range that you can do, but the body, the muscles themselves, they don't really respond to the number of repetitions. What they respond to is the time, what we call time under tension, or the length of the set that you're working. And unlike the aerobic energy system, where you are the expert for sure, and I am certainly not, but unlike the aerobic energy system, to train muscles, to build muscle strength and to increase muscle size and muscle function and to increase bone density, you need to fatigue the target muscles. And I like the major muscle exercise, like, let's say, leg presses or squats or bench presses or chest presses or pull downs or seated rows, things that work several muscle groups together. But you need to fatigue those muscles involved in that exercise within the anaerobic energy system, just the opposite of the aerobic, the endurance and cardio activities. You need to use a weight heavy enough that it fatigues the muscle somewhere in practical terms between 30 seconds and 90 seconds. If you're fatiguing in less than 30, the weight may be a little heavier than you need to do, and it may cause some, for older individuals and middle-aged individuals, some joint problems. So, do it for at least 30 seconds, which would be at least, let's say, 5 repetitions at a controlled cadence. But you probably shouldn't do a weight that takes you beyond that 90 seconds. Again, if we're looking at, say, a six-second repetition, which is what the American College of Sports Medicine recommended, then you're looking at 15 repetitions. So if you can do between 5 and 15 reps, 10 being pretty much the average, you're doing just right for building muscle strength, muscle endurance, and remodeling that muscle, rebuilding the muscle that was lost, and maybe building some more. But if you're going beyond 15 reps or less, fewer than 5 reps, you may be, you know, maybe a little outside the ideal or the optimal training range for time under tension.
So time under tension, it's interesting. I see different classes that are popular right now, and including things like, let's say, a bar workout, where you're at a bar and you're doing lots of repetitions, and it's many more than 15. And let's just you probably wouldn't know this term, but it's more of a plié. A plié is a version of a squat, but your legs are turned out. But if you're doing something like that, and you're doing, let's just say we're doing 30 of them, a variation, we're doing 30 of them, and we're in that zone for a period of time. That it's not bad, what you're saying, it's not bad for the body, but it's using, we're now going into more of a aerobic training as opposed to this anaerobic and more of the strength training.
Well, Kathy, very, very brilliant question, as I always get from you. But there's this range for maximizing or optimizing muscle development. You want to be between, let's say, under 2 minutes, okay? Under, at the most, 2 minutes. And then for aerobic training, you know, for being the expert at this, that people say, we've got to do at least 10 minutes of aerobics to get any benefit, or 15. Now the American College of Sports Medicine up to 20. So what's between that 2 minutes and the 10 minutes? What's that? It's no man's land. Well, of course it is. That's a great way to train. And there's no problem with that. I'm not quite as familiar with bar, but let's say the body pump, which is the most popular group exercise program for strength training in the world. And they're doing the same exercise for 3, 4, sometimes even 5 minutes. People love it. It's done to music. They have great instructors. They get excellent results. They get great muscle definition. But what they're really building there, maybe some degree of cardiovascular endurance, but mostly be what we call muscular endurance. So they're going for maybe 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes. That's muscular endurance. There's nothing wrong with muscular endurance. Oh, that's like someone who runs the mile or the half mile, you know, a half mile in 2 minutes, 30 seconds, or a mile in 5 minutes. You know, that would be that range. Those are great athletes. Those are wonderful athletes. It's a great way to train, but it's probably not going to maximize your muscle development. So if you were a bodybuilder or a weightlifter or a powerlifter, you wouldn't train with that many reps. You'd want to be within that anaerobic energy system, but that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with doing what you just said in the bar class or the body pump class. Those are very effective musculoskeletal conditioners. They're just not quite as strong in muscles. They don't emphasize quite as much muscle strength. They emphasize more muscle endurance.